This will be a short one.
All right, so I turn your attention now to the Philistines. And let's see if we can get some of the basics about the Philistines. What were some of the most important things in relationship to the Philistines and how they interacted with Israel especially, and how they impacted Israel? You'll remember that when we talked about the geography, we had the coastal plain. I'm jumping to slide 6 here. On that coastal plain, it was a very flat, fruitful area, well-watered because of the water that would come out of the Judean hills and go to the west. And the Philistines were among the very, very strong peoples who lived in that area. The Great Trunk Road went through the coastal plain, right through the city of Gaza on the coast. And the Philistines were the most prominent people on the western side of Israel. When you think of Philistines, think of these particular cities, 5 cities in particular, called the Pentapolis, 5 cities, each controlled by a lord or a sarin. If you remember the acronym AGE, it'll help you remember the 5 cities. All right? The A would stand for Ashkelon and Ashdod. All right? 2 of the cities start with A. G?
Gath and Gaza.
Gath and Gaza. You know that Goliath was from Gath. And then E?
Ekron.
Okay? So there's your A, G, and E. What do we call the Philistine area today?
Gaza.
We call it the city of the Gaza Strip today. So that term of the city of Gaza has now been adopted to refer to the entire area that's called the Gaza Strip. Israel used to have control of the Gaza Strip, and they gave up that control. They pulled out the Israeli settlements that were in that area and pulled them back to Israel. And this is a very, very difficult area to deal with today. I won't get into all the geopolitics of it, except to say that the people in Gaza, controlled by Hamas, keep sending rockets on over to Israel, and Israel keeps responding to this. And every time that happens, it's really sad for the city of Gaza. So the geography of the Philistine is that these 3 cities, Ashkelon, Ashdod, and Gaza, were situated by the sea. And then Gath and Ekron were more inland. See, Gath and Ekron were the ones that were facing Israel the most. So there have been a lot of archaeological discoveries there. The most prominent would be the Philistine pottery. They made the best pottery of their day. And the very advanced technology of the Philistines is actually seen in their pottery. I'll jump to show you some of these on slide 18. Their pots were ornate and beautiful. They were influenced by the Mycenaean, Cyprus, Egypt, Palestine. See, these Philistines were sea peoples as well, like the Phoenicians north of them. And they also had trade going in and out, not as much as the Phoenicians. We know the city of Gaza because Gaza was an administrative center, and this was where actually Samson died, at the city of Gaza. You can see remnants of the ancient city right there at the seashore today on the coastal plain. Gaza was... also had the other G was Gath. And Gath was the place where Goliath was from, who said to be about 6.5 cubits. 1 Samuel 18 notes that Goliath was from there. And David actually ran over to Gath and found refuge under Achish, the king of Gath, when Saul was chasing him. And Samson Gath was actually his place of his downfall, you might say. That's the place, but what was his weakness, though? Some say it was hair. His hair was his weakness. Others say it wasn't hair, it was her. You know? Chuck Swindoll, in his sermon on this, calls Samson the He-Man with the she weakness. So he sees that that Samson was not able to control his sexual appetites. I don't know if it was his hair or her. I think it was the third H. It was an issue of the heart. Where was his heart really? You read Book of Judges and you just see how he's not concerned about the glory of God. He's concerned about revenge. He's concerned about his passions. He really truly had a heart problem. A heart problem, yeah. The kind of heart problem you really want to avoid. I could go city by city in this, but I think probably better not to do that. Let me jump over to slide 36. And interesting, here we see the temple of Dagon that shows pillars in the front of it, actually quite close. Pillars so close together that an average-sized man could actually touch both of those pillars. Those are the main pillars that are upholding the temple of Dagon. Dagon is considered to be quite attractive to people today. We have more and more people worshiping Dagon. It's quite frightening. They were very fearsome people, and so some people really want to follow what the people of Dagon were doing then as well. And if you can imagine David trying to get on up against Goliath, there's no contest between the two, but there's also no contest between their gods. Humanly speaking, as opposed to spiritually speaking. And some of the Philistine weapons you can see in various museums, their shields, amazingly ornate shields. I mean, they were very, very technologically advanced people. Their weapons, far superior to that in Israel. And their military organization of chariots and cavalry and infantry and archers, really nobody could defeat them militarily. But God, Philistine, in summary, can help us to understand really what we can know from the Philistines. Pentapolis, just remember, they've got these five key cities. The Philistines were Ham's descendant. They are among the Canaanites there in the land. They were Israel's enemy, arch enemy, you might say. Except during David's time. Well, David defeated them. And pretty much the whole time. They were the result, I didn't cover this very much, of a large-scale migration from Crete or Kaftor. And they were part of the Sea People migration that moved on over from Greece, and some inhabited Egypt and others here. So like the Phoenicians, they were Sea Peoples. They came from the sea, but you might say the Phoenicians went out into the sea. In both ways, they were. 1 Samuel 17, of course, is probably the best known of all stories in the Bible. And Goliath was certainly from Gath. So they were sea people with great technology and temples, especially iron. And they became very prominent in the Iron Age, was around 1200 BC. Dagon was their chief deity. They believed that Dagon was inhabiting their temple. And there's quite a humorous account in 1 Samuel where they bring the Ark of the Covenant before Dagon. And then remember what happened? Dagon falls face down in front of the Ark of the Covenant. They have a face on their God. The Ark of the Covenant has no face. But the faceless God defeats the face God. And so Dagon puts himself up, right? No, Dagon doesn't even have the ability to stand himself up. So the people put Dagon up, and the next day, Dagon fell again with his arms broken off and his head broken off. And the Philistines were trying to get God was trying to help them get the message. They thought Dagon was such a huge, powerful god to defeat the Israelites. But they needed to recognize. None of them actually repented, but they certainly had a very clear example there of Yahweh over Dagon. But he was definitely one of their deities, the most important of them. And if you remember the concept of age, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Gaza, Gath, and Ekron, you'll get an idea of what we've got there. Technology is really, really important. Just like a caveman here. But we just don't have the technology to carry it out. We've got all the... Well, the Philistines had the technology. They indeed did carry it out. And they're known quite early. Abraham lived as a foreigner in Philistine country. This is 2000 BC, Genesis 21. The people are let out of... God didn't lead them on the main road to the Philistines in Exodus 13 at the Exodus. So they're there quite early. And then, of course, we see them in Joshua and Judges as well. They were, in terms of implications, they were more technologically advanced than Israel. And God used them to teach Israelites warfare as well as farming. The Israelites adopted their gods, sadly, in Judges 10. Israelites started worshiping Dagon. And so God actually used the Philistines to chasten his own people because Israel was worshiping the wrong gods. And then that pressure from the Philistines actually led to Israel wanting to have their own king. And so this ended up leading them into the monarchy. And so they ended up becoming used of God actually to... I think God wanted the Israelites to turn to the Lord because of the Philistine pressure. And sadly, they didn't actually do that. Whatever the Philistines did to Israel, God controlled every event that happened between these nations. And there's some good lessons for us there. Not to put our faith and our hope in technology, because the God of less technology, the God of Israel, is actually the stronger God than the so-called, humanly speaking, stronger God of the Philistines. Good for us to remember that as well, don't you think?